Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about ending the war, but he was noncommittal when asked if Ukrainian President Zelensky would play an equal role in the discussions. Tesla CEO Elon Musk speaking by video call at the annual World Governments Summit in Dubai, saying entire federal government agencies in the United States will soon be eliminated.
It's kind of like if they're leaving a weed, if you don't remove the roots of the weed, then it's easy for the weed to grow back. But if you remove the roots of the weed, it doesn't stop weeds from ever growing back, but it makes it harder.
NASA, the latest government agency, told to prepare for a reduction of employees. As for those government buyout offers, the window is now closed for those who to make a decision, a federal judge clearing the way for the buyouts to proceed, and the offers are no longer being made. A car ramming in Munich, Germany, believed to be a terror attack. 28 people hurt, some critically. This is ABC News. An Ohio doctor facing 6 counts of arson. Police say 33-year-old Andrew Campbell set fire to another doctor's home after that other doctor allegedly had an affair with Campbell's wife. The University of Toledo, where Campbell works, putting him on leave. 2 Navy pilots now recovering after ejecting from their fighter jet an E-18 Growler just off San Diego.
An immediate search launched for the 2 pilots after parachuting from the aircraft, rescued within 1 minute by a tourist fishing boat. The $67 million Navy jet was attempting a landing on North Island Naval Air Station off Coronado Beach. As it came to the end of the runway, it started a go-around. The pilots headed back up, and that's when they ejected.
ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz. And a 14-year-old from India setting the world record for mentally adding up 100 numbers, each of them 4 digits. Took him 30 seconds. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Fish is served from 4 to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world, and after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best, open at 11 a.m. Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Dealing with the loss of a loved one is never easy. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Many families have found pre-planning can help ease the burden of loss. Anyone can create a plan at any stage in life, and you can make changes at any time. Pre-planning is free of charge at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Please contact us to schedule a time to meet with a member of our staff to discuss your options and design your plan in person. You'll be glad you did.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
Mostly sunny, but rather cool today, a high of 16. Clear with some clouds late tonight, a low of 3 degrees below zero. Clouds thicken with some snow likely by late afternoon Friday, a high of 25. Snow Friday night, heaviest through midnight. A total accumulation could be between 3 and 5 inches, a low of 19. Saturday mainly cloudy and seasonal. An additional 1 to 2 inches of snow possible on Saturday morning.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
Hunters and outdoor enthusiasts, get ready for the annual Driftless Area Deer Classic. It's happening Saturday, February 22nd from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring in your deer head for a chance to win a gun. Plus, check out exciting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, and a trail camera photo contest. Got sheds? Bring them along. They're welcome, but they won't be scored. Enjoy great food and drinks while swapping stories with fellow hunters. Admission is just $5, and kids 16 and under get in free. Want to get a head start? Pre-register Friday night, February 21st from 5 to 9 p.m. or Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. For more details, call 475-4963. Don't miss the Driftless Area Deer Classic, Saturday, February 22nd at the Richland Center Community Center.
Transform your outdoor spaces with Bailey Paint and Decorating's Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. With over 3,500 colors, you can achieve the perfect look for any project. From translucent to ultra-flat solid stains, Woodlux by Benjamin Moore enhances the natural beauty of your wood. Providing one coat coverage with minimal lap marks, Benjamin Moore Woodlux protects against UV rays, frost, and mildew, ensuring your wood stays beautiful year-round. Visit Bailey Paint and Decorating today in Richland Center and discover the Woodlux difference. Bailey Paint and Decorating, your local experts in quality and color.
Located in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, Surplus Online Auction stands as a beacon of auction excellence. Family-owned and operated with roots dating back to 1975, Richard and Matthew Lust have built a legacy of connecting buyers and sellers through professional online auction services. Serving Wisconsin and the Midwest communities throughout, Wisconsin Surplus turns your unused equipment into cash. Their online auctions make it easy to buy and sell surplus assets from anywhere. Proudly based in Wisconsin, they're dedicated to sustainable auction solutions that help everyone. Join the thousands who have trusted Wisconsin Surplus. Visit WisconsinSurplus.com and discover the power of online auctions.
Savor the flavor with Richland Family Restaurant, proud sponsor of WRCO Studios.
On our morning show today from WRCO, State Senator of the 14th District, Sarah Kieske, is our guest in the studio today to talk about what is going on. And we welcome her along just a little over a month on the job officially now. How's it going, Sarah?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a month in. It is a fascinating journey, let me tell you that. It's been great. It's been surprising. It's been heartwarming, and I'm learning so much.
I know that we wanted to give a little bit of your background, sure. But you came from the Cashton area way back when. That's something I did not know about you until I was kind of looking up some info for the show here today.
Yeah, I grew up on a small dairy farm there in Cashton, Wisconsin, graduated from that school, and then went off to study. I got a bachelor's degree at Luther College in Iowa, and then a master's degree at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois.
And you've been busy in the private life. I know you're a mental health counselor. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my career has been mental health services. So I've been an individual, family, and couples therapist for the last 25 years. I've worked for the rural clinic in Toma, much of that, called Gunderson Health Systems. And about 6 years ago, I also started a small private practice in my town of Lodi. And so I've been full-time doing that all these years now, and am brand new to the political sphere.
I was going to say, when you announced to family and friends, maybe getting into the political ring, did they suggest a mental health counselor for you and say, Sarah, this is not a good idea. Maybe you better talk to somebody.
Oh my gosh, that's a good one. They probably should have. People were really surprised when I considered it, but I considered it because people asked me to do it. And when people that you respect in the community ask you to step up and do something for the community, it was humbling, and it really gave me an opportunity to think about, well, how do I want to serve? I've been serving in this way, right, as an individual therapist, doing family and couples work. But if there's another way that I could serve, and it's perhaps has the potential for being more impactful. I thought about it deeply. My family understands who I am. I've always been somebody that takes on a challenge, works really hard, cares deeply, and gets active on things that really matter to me. So they weren't that surprised that I initially considered it. But this was when I was considering it as an assembly candidate. And so at that time, there was really, based on those maps, there was really no way to win, just kind of how the landscape was. And I was okay with that. I wasn't looking to start a new career in my 50s. I was really happy with my life the way it was, but I also felt it was really important to be civically involved and active in presenting the values that are really important to me. And, you know, like fairness and equality and respect for others and working together and some of those fundamental things that I've always lived by growing up on a small farm in a strong Lutheran background where you just, your mission was to help one another. Your mission was to care about your fellow person. And so this was an interesting ask by my community, but it felt really right, honestly, to do that. And then the maps changed. That was in March of 2024. I had already been running for the assembly for about 6-ish months, maybe. And all of a sudden, I got asked to transition to the Senate campaign to be a person running in that. And that was a whole different ball of wax because that was a closer 50-50 race. I was running against an incumbent that was much beloved. And I had to really, again, sort of think deeper then about, well, why would I actually want to change careers? And if I won, and I had to really get clear about what I stand for, what my true intentions are as a representative of this bigger area. And honestly, it was really exciting because the area that I represent is the 14th Senate District. It has changed with the new maps. And so it is the combination of 7 different counties. So it's all of Sauk County, all of Richland County, and parts of Dane, Columbia, Juneau, Adams, and one township in Vernon County. And so that was so reflective of like my history, my beginnings, my current life. I live in Lodi, a town of 3,000 people, but I've lived in big cities. So I know some of the workings of that. And I felt really compelled to be a voice, particularly for rural Wisconsin, because that's where my heart is. That's where I started. That's where I ultimately returned after going off to the cities. And that's where I'm raising my children. And so it's very important to me to protect that that area, that tradition in our state. And so when I got the chance to maybe be that voice, I stepped up and was really excited and so proud to have won.
So you defeated the incumbent, Joan Ballweg. What do you think puts you over the top, Sarah, in the election?
Gosh, I don't know, right? There's so many pieces to an election, to a campaign. I don't presume to know exactly. What I can tell you is I worked really hard. I was as many places as I could be throughout the district, and really wanted to continue my voice for those that are maybe less heard in the Capitol from Democrats. You know, Democrats haven't had the history of having a real rural districts that they could be a voice for because of the way the maps were created. And so I worked really hard to be someone that was in these rural areas, to hear the concerns, to speak to the voters. I went to lots and lots of parades. I went to lots of pancake suppers. I went to lots of discussions. And I think, you know, outside of all the things, like there's TV and there's radio and there's mailers and all of that. The thing that I'm most proud of probably is that the person that I have been all of my life has been consistently true to me. And when I was asked to take on this challenge and become a candidate, for me, it was really important that I was not going to be asked to change. I wasn't going to be manipulated into some version of a politician that I didn't recognize myself anymore. And so I, you know, as much as they, you know, asked me to run, I had to really vet who was asking me, what party I was, you know, then going to stand for, who I was going to be working with. And they allowed me to stay true to myself. They allowed me to have the voice that I have. They are still allowing me to do that. And it might not always go party line. And that is okay, because it is the voice of my district. And so I hope one of the things, both that I'm most proud of and I hope came across, is I genuinely am this person. I don't change. As I told them, I said, I am well baked at this point. I'm not somebody that you can really create into some kind of alternative version. And so that's good and bad, right? Because I don't know how to be polished in a really formal political kind of way. I just know how to be me. But I think that's also kind of refreshing that I'm not maybe a typical politician. And I'm just a gal that has lived a really normal life like the rest of people. I've raised a blended family of 6 kids. I've had a career. I've built a business. I've worked in my community. And so hopefully all of that together is part of why I was elected.
Right. And I think having an open mind, because in this day and age, you're going to have to work across party lines and do what's best for your constituents, right?
Yeah. I come to this knowing that I don't know a lot, right? And so I am doing my due diligence to learn as much as I can, be open-minded, to understand things at a deeper level than just the platitudes of the, you know, the typical lines that maybe people will say. I'm trying to understand things deeply. I'm trying to understand things from both perspectives the best I can. I ask that question all the time. What are the kind of the dueling, if you will, perspectives? Because generally speaking, they both have validity. Maybe one will rise a little bit higher, but it's important to me to make sure that I represent thoughtful, discerning decision making that is reflective of what's best for the constituents in my district. And that means listening to both sides. That means reaching out. I have had a number of meetings now with Republicans. Tony Kurtz was one that I asked him to come and sit down, and he did, and we had a lovely chat. And I just shared with him my desire to really work together. I believe he cares about his constituents, and I wanted to let him know that I too deeply care and want us to work together the best we can, despite being from different parties. And I will continue to do that as much as they will allow me. If they will take my meeting offer, I will do everything I can to make sure that we have a congenial, constructive conversation.
One of the big concerns right out of the gate, and I told you before we went on the air, you know, school funding, we hear about that from so many administrators stopping by our studios here. You come from a small school, Cashton, back in the day.
Yeah.
And so you know all about the plight of the small schools in the area. And what's your take on school funding and how we can improve that, or, you know, moving forward and trying to help some of these districts?
So, I come from a small rural school. We had approximately 48 people in my graduating class. And I understand that our public schools are the cornerstone of many of our small communities. And so protecting them is really important to me if I want to protect our local economies, our local communities, the richness that they bring to the state of Wisconsin. So as I've been learning about the the financial situation of most schools, I've been really heartbroken to see the choices that school districts are having to make to cut so many programs in order to manage. There was a disconnect between how we fund our schools and how it was linked to inflation about 15 years ago. And so there wasn't this continuation of inflation going with the state funding. And so when that didn't happen, the ways we get funding for schools is state aid and property taxes. And the dilemma is to make up that difference. And this isn't for like specialty services, fancy things. This is for keeping the heat on in a building when the cost of utilities is going up. This is for keeping the good teachers in when the cost of salaries is going up or insurance is going up. So these are the operational costs that are just going up because inflation does that, right? And so when there has been no connection to inflation with the state aid, then the ask has been, well, then we need our taxpayers to help make up the difference. And that I've seen be painful to my own town when we went to referendum in 2022 in Lodi, because it really pits neighbor to neighbor. It really pits taxpayers against the school in some ways, because they're feeling like they're already taxed so much, and all of a sudden they're having to vote to raise their own taxes. And it's quite a dilemma that is systematically problematic across the state. One of the things that I looked at is how many school districts do I, in my district, do I at least have a part of, right? I have 30 school districts that I represent a part of, or people in 30 different school districts. In the last 10 years, I'm going to have you guess what percentage of those schools have gone to referendum.
I would say about 90%.
100%. Every single one of those 30 school districts has gone to referendum in the last 10 years, some of them more than once. Now, that tells me, right? I mean, just logic. That tells me this isn't an issue with one school district maybe being poorly run, right? This is a systemic issue across the state that we need to consider as vitally important to address immediately.
So how do you, what do we do moving forward?
Well, we have to figure out some way to change that formula, right? How we're funding our schools. We have to increase the amount that we are providing for our schools. One of the things that is quite interesting is that what we're seeing is kids with special needs, let's say special needs. So they have IEPs, individualized education plans, where they might need assistive technology, where they might need an aide, where they might need nursing services, right, to help them function in the school, because all kids have a right to education and public school has to provide that education to all of them despite special needs. Right now, the coverage of those specialty services is at about, and please correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, but is about 30%, right? That other 70% has to be found somewhere, and generally it has to be taken from the general fund to be able to provide those things that are mandated to provide. And so that means other things have to be cut. So we have to think about how do we change that formula? That would be one of the very first. We must do better with providing funding for our special needs students. And there's different asks out there, but I would say that would be a huge beginning step.
Number one.
Yeah.
Some other priorities tying in with school. I know you're all for healthy school meals for all, and a bill that you went right to work on, didn't you?
Yeah, right. And so as I was going along on the campaign trail, you know, one of the things I heard about is the stress that we're feeling financially, all of us, right? And how do we invest in a way that helps our tax dollars be well spent in a way that invests in our future? And healthy meals for all providing meals for our children, breakfast and lunch, in every school across the state is an investment in our young people so that they can functionally learn and participate in activities, have the ability to focus, good regulation of their emotions, socialization skills. If they are not well fed, we know just the basics of that has dire implications for their ability to function well in school. And so not only would we be able to have a school that hopefully has children that are not having to have the anxiety of where's their next meal going to be or not be able to learn because they have a grumbling stomach, right? But we then have a change in the dynamics, perhaps in the school, in the classroom for our teachers. Teachers are burning out. We also have the benefit of the economic assistance, essentially, that will be for families. What we know is approximately on an average, a family with a child in school would benefit by about $1,800 every year that they could then use spent elsewhere if our schools provided these meals. So it has sort of a ripple effect. And that money then that families are able to save can be spent on other things that they need in our community to keep them thriving. So it's sort of a win-win in so many ways that I think it is a real starter.
Lots of times for students, you know, that might be the only meals they get, you know, the breakfast and lunch that they have at school.
Sadly, yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, we have a really desperate situation with many children that don't have adequate nutrition. And the best we can do is make sure that their basic needs are met where we can so that they can thrive into the citizens we need them to be for the future. We will all benefit from that.
Yeah. And education is a great investment, isn't it?
100%. Yeah.
We've got more to ask Sarah Kieske. We'll do that in a moment here as we talk on our morning show visit from WRCO Radio. Sarah representing the 14th District here in the WRCO listening area.
The Ithaca Lions annual 8-pin tap is back. Join the fun this Sunday, February 16th at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Choose from two shifts at 11 o'clock a.m. and 2 o'clock p.m. Entry fee is just $15, and there will be a raffle, door prizes throughout the day, as well as a bake sale. Best of all, this event is open to all ages. Advanced sign-up is available by calling the Phoenix Center at 608-649-7469. Don't miss out on a great time. See you at the annual Ithaca Lions 8-Pin Tap this Sunday.
Life is filled with decisions, some required and some optional. And then there are decisions we make by making no decision at all. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to gift yourself and your loved ones by making the decision to plan your final wishes. Decide today to make that decision. We'll be glad to support and help you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. You can start that journey at PrattFuneralService.com.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin was started in 2008 with a goal of helping Richland County and the surrounding areas with all their flooring needs. Since then, our business has expanded from our showroom to the variety of work by offering full kitchen and bathroom remodels, tiled walk-in showers, along with quartz, laminate, and granite countertops. After 17 years, we still say, if you can dream it, we can build it. So stop in or call us today and let Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin make your dreams become reality.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Wilkinson Auctions is proud to present our annual Hillsboro Area Equipment Auction, Wednesday, February 19th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. This is a huge auction with tractors, farm equipment, tillage equipment, planters, trucks, trailers, combines, and more. We're taking quality consignments of equipment. Get your equipment up to the Hillsboro Auction Yard today. This is a live auction with online bidding available. The Hillsboro Area Equipment Auction, Wednesday, February 19th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. More info at WilkinsonAuctions.com.
State Senator Sarah Kayeski, our guest in the morning show studios today. Glad to have you in here for the first time, and hopefully not the last time. So.
I hope to be reinvited.
Yeah, you sure will be. Mental health counselor in your private life and that kind of thing. And I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit because a lot of people were quite traumatized by the last political season and still probably feeling a little bit of that. What do you suggest for somebody that's going through some tough times right now as a result of that? One side or the other, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll tell you, the thing that encapsulates how I have managed my own mental health challenges during times when I've felt a lot of angst, is I've leaned into a saying, and the saying is by Joan Baez, and it is, action is the antidote to despair. And when I was feeling that way post-COVID, post-election, what I did is I started a nonprofit. And it was oriented toward lifting our community, either side of the aisle. It didn't matter. I wanted everybody to come together and work on improving our small town in a way that was service oriented. So it was called Lift Lodi. And it was the way that I channeled my angst, basically, and said, I can't change big things, maybe, but I can change my community. I can change my own mindset. I can make sure that I take care of me. One of the things I laughingly say, but is true, because I was, obviously working full time as a therapist at the time, nobody wants a depressed therapist. So I had to make sure that I took good care of me. And that was the way that I did it. And so what I would say to people is get active, do what you believe in your backyard can make a difference so that you feel like you are part of the solution and not sitting back feeling like it's happening to you. Do what you can, use your voice. And that's ultimately, you know, I inadvertently then got on people's radar, and that's how I got asked to run for office. And now I'm here in this position, right? And so I think if you have good intentions and you want to help and serve, I think it gives you meaning, it gives you purpose. And while not everything works out, and while, you know, there's still things that are very distressing, I feel really good about the fact that I am doing everything I can to uplift the values I believe in and to do the things that will protect the next generation, because I have six kids that I'm very concerned about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for their future. That's probably 100%. Part of the reason about running and trying to do what you do as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I have four boys, twin girls, and it was actually challenging to think about running while three of them are still in high school. Three are out of the home now, because I knew I would be gone a lot. I would be busy, and I was. I mean, I rarely was home. Most nights I would do something after working, or most weekends I would do something. So, that was a huge sacrifice for my family and for my kids, and I was worried about that. But the other thing that was really important is to show them, to role model what my parents have always role modeled to me. They would do mission trips. They would, go serve and in the ways that they did. And what I saw was they believed in helping for the collective good, not just for our own family. And so that's what I explained to the kids, and that's what they really understood, is that I'm doing this. It's a sacrifice for us right now, but it's to help as many people as I can. And that's sometimes what we have to do. We have to sacrifice ourselves or, our benefit sometimes. Now, granted, the good news is I'm now home almost every single night. They see me all the time, and they're, sometimes sick of that. But for that year, it was a sacrifice that we were all willing to make. And it showed them what it means to have a civic responsibility that you live out that I hope they adopt someday.
You took over a little over a month ago, set to work right away. Priorities. Can you talk about some of your priorities here in this first year?
So on the campaign trail, probably the three things that I talked about the most are mental health, because I'm a mental health provider, our public schools and education being so important, and uplifting, supporting, protecting our rural communities. And so I was really proud to be heard in that. And my caucus, the Democratic caucus, the leadership appointed me to committees, because we're all on different committees, where we hear then the proposal of bills and decide and vote on them so that they go to the whole Senate. And so the committees that I've been appointed to are mental health, substance abuse prevention, family and children's, that's all one, agriculture and revenue, and education. So those are my priorities. And I'm really so grateful to be able to be on those committees where my priorities and I think my district's priorities really well align. So my hope is to do things that are protective for our agricultural businesses, our farmers, our small communities, making sure that they have the resources that they need to make sure our public schools are strong and vibrant and hopefully helping them with the needs that they've been suffering under for many years now. And obviously mental health is huge to me, just health in general, but making sure that we're recognizing what I call the preventive issues that then contribute to mental health. Because the thing that I have struggled a little bit with as a mental health provider is people talking about, well, we all need access to therapy, or, bad access and we need to get into therapy and we need more therapists. I love that idea. I really do. But it's really not quite realistic, probably, that we're all going to be able to have access to mental health that is going to meet the current need, because the need seems to just be greater and greater. So what my hope is, yes, to have more affordability, to more have more access, but to really think about preventative things, proactive things that go to the issues that are contributing to the mental health crisis rising. So that's food insecurity, that's housing destabilization, that's climate concerns, that's gun violence. Those are the things that are contributing to people being more distressed, that if we get to the front end of that, we are going to be able to manage much better than just trying to do on the back end and treat all of these issues.
Tying two of them together, mental health and agriculture, there's been a big push lately to, for farmers and agricultural people to have, more counseling and things like that in programs.
Yeah. So there's, that's such a soft spot for me. You know, my dad, you know, he is one of the people that I revere most in this world. He has passed, but he was a jack of all trades, did all the things on the farm. He was able to fix things and, you know, manage the crops and, you know, parent his kids and, you know, mow the lawn and make sure that his cows didn't have mastitis. I mean, he was like the, you know, the quintessential small farmer. But I know there were times when the commodity numbers would go down, the environmental factors that would play out, the weather issues would cause great distress for him because it was out of his control. And what I understand now is for those that are maybe a bit more stoic, these rugged individualists, right, that are so proud, they are suffering under the pressures of trying to maintain a beautiful family business, generally, generational. I'm from a century farm. In a way that is sustainable for good paying wages for their family to sustain them, and maybe, you know, hand it off to the next generation. And it's getting harder and harder. And the despair, the losses, the grief, the stress is so high that we have a epidemic of farmers that are committing suicide. The rate for farmers committing suicide is 1.5% higher than the average population. It is tragic, tragic. And so there are resources we're trying to address, right? The governor is, other programs are. There's some beautiful things out there happening, which I really appreciate. But I think we need to understand that the mental health crisis cuts across all races, all genders, all socioeconomic classes, all political affiliations. It's everywhere. And we need to be really mindful. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important for me to be protective of our small communities. Because if we don't, we are going to lose more farmers to this crisis. And that has ripple effects. That's a crisis I want to address as fast and as well as I possibly can.
We're all inflected by inflation. Inflation is a big topic right now as well as you take over.
Yeah. Well, that is frighteningly increasing. It was already hard, right? And so I'm concerned about just regular working class families trying to make do. I would love to see something with, we do have a budget surplus. I would love to see a middle class tax cut if we could. Again, we talked about those free meals in schools. That could be a way also to allow there to be a bit more money in people's pocketbooks that have children. I think we need to make sure that we address this head on in a way that's meaningful for our families, for the working class. And that includes farmers, because they are not going to be exempt from this too. I keep coming back there because I guess that's my, that's where, like I said, where my heart is. And I'm concerned because as I've looked at, you know, some of the programs that are being cut, the tariffs that are being presented, I just see the cost of things being higher, the margins for profit being lower, and this is going to have dire consequences. And I'm really concerned.
Another bill I know that is near and dear to you, postpartum Medicaid expansion bill. Could you talk about that, Sarah?
Yeah, sure. So Medicaid expansion for postpartum care is done in 48 of 50 states. We are one of two that has not done it. We have 60 days postpartum care for mothers right now. I am a co-author on a bill saying we should have that, like the 48 other states, for 1 year. Because what we know is postpartum care, the needs aren't only in the first 60 days for the mom. And we need healthy moms so that we have healthy kids. So if they have a medical issue, if they have a mental health issue, those need to be treated well, so that we have them functioning well, both for themselves, for their newborn and any other children, or maybe their workplace. There are many things that happen postpartum that have an impact, and some of them are just not going to show up in the first 60 days. So having access to this is really, really important. And it's bipartisan supported. So last session, this bill was presented in the Senate and it was passed 32-1. So bipartisan support. We are hoping that it comes to the floor again in the Senate and in the Assembly. One of the big issues is there is the leader of the Assembly. His name is Robin Voss, the representative, that has said it is unlikely that this bill will be seen on that floor, which means there's no way it could be passed because he won't let it be seen. I fundamentally have a issue with that. I believe if we are the voice of our constituents, there are 132 of us total, 99 assembly members, 33 Senate members. We should all get to vote on something that is this important and has bipartisan support, and not only bipartisan support, but support across the ideological frame. We have people both pro-life, pro-choice. We have all kinds of people that are supporting this. And so this should be something that's voted on. But we have one person right now that is standing in the way for even it being presented to a floor where 132 people would have the chance, or excuse me, where 99 people would have the chance to vote on it. That would be the Assembly. And then if it doesn't get passed there, we can't pass it, even if the Senate does. That's disturbing. And so if people want our government to work, it has to have these situations addressed so that the voice of the voters, the voice of your elected leaders are able to take votes on things for you or votes against them. That's fine. I mean, if it doesn't pass, it doesn't pass. But to not have it even presented to have a vote, I think is despicable, frankly.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in many ways, not for just this topic, but for others, you know, that comes up.
Indeed. Well, it's been very interesting for me to learn a little bit of the lay of the land, right? And I don't know. I'm a mom that's had six children. I'm a mom that started a business. I'm a mom that has, you know, been a Girl Scout leader. I'm a mom that has started a nonprofit. I'm a doer, right? And so it is just so annoying to me to have the inability to do something that is blocked by one person. I find that just absurd, right? That's broken. And if we want to elect people that do the will of the voters, that cannot stand. That can't stand. I'm loud about it because if people think government doesn't work, fix it. Fix it by making sure this cannot happen, by making sure that the people in leadership have to respond to their voters.
Another hot topic, and tying that in with mental health, is gun violence. You had mentioned that earlier mm-hmm. as well. But mm-hmm. And we had the unfortunate shooting in Madison, mm-hmm. right in your area recently as well.
Yeah, you know, I know this is a really hard topic to maybe find full common ground on. But I think there's some things that we can all probably agree on. It sounds like most people, if you look at the statistics, most people believe that we should have some reasonable regulations on things like let's have places where we can have guns protected, let's say, and so a locked a cabinet, you know. Let's say we don't have a loophole where you can buy them at a gun show. Maybe that wouldn't be good. Let's make sure that we address these issues that are forefront, because right now people are talking about the crisis we see with our children and their anxieties being high. If you do not believe that having children starting at 4 years old learn how to do active shooter drills in our school, learning that their environment is not safe, that every day they go to school, be mindful, little children, that where you are sitting for most of your day, 5 days a week, it might be dangerous for you. Be on the lookout. If you don't think that affects their mental health, I don't know what to say. But as a mental health expert, I can guarantee you it does. I have had more clients come in session afraid to go to school, especially after an active shooter has happened. It can be, you know, nationwide. But all of a sudden, the anxiety of that, the anxiety for parents sending their children to school. So I think it's just common sense to start doing some common sense legislation in these areas. Not all things are reasonable, I'm sure, but I think some are where we need to address that this is part of the epidemic of the mental health crisis. Also, to see that those are tied rather than separating them into two different buckets, I don't think they are.
On a lighter note, we've been putting you got the polka with the governor.
Oh my goodness.
What was that like?
Well, you know, I grew up pokaing. We would, on weekends, there is usually a family wedding to go to most summer weekends. We would have to take a nap during the day so that we could stay up late at night and go to the receptions, right? And so I grew up on polka. And my mom still, she's 80 years old. She polkas almost every single weekend with her dance friends. She goes all around the local area. She lives in Bangor right now. So I was at the State of the State my first time, and I'm just so excited, right? I think you can probably gather. I'm just a very, like, happy, excited person, and I get very passionate about things. And so it was really a great night. It was my first time ever being there. I had never been in the assembly chambers before. It was lovely. And I was really excited about many of the things that the governor talked about. Well, at the very end, the UW marching band comes in, and they start to play. And, oh, my gosh, that was just such fun, right? Well, some of us that are just a little bit like new and excited, we decided that we started to dance a bit because the songs were, you know, on Wisconsin. And then Roll Out the Barrel came out. And I wasn't too far away from Governor Evers. I had heard he liked to polka. I asked him to dance, and he did. No, I got to be honest with you. After the fact, I'm like, what did I just do? Right? It was really just sort of in the moment and just such fun. But, you know, that's me.
Sure.
So I do me, like I said. And so me poking with the governor was a really highlight.
You didn't get a chance to bend his ear about anything, though, because, you know, the polkas, you know, you're moving and it's
No, but I will tell you that before the budget address that comes out, I believe, on the 18th. One of the things that was interesting, I didn't know this would happen, but all of us legislators got time with him individually to talk to him about our budget priorities. So I actually sat down with him maybe in December, I'm trying to remember now, and, you know, had his ear. And then I sat with some of my assembly members under my Senate district, and we talked about our general needs for our area. And so I have gotten to bend his ear a bit. And as you can imagine, I talked to him about mental health, public schools, and our rural communities. Those were really the highlights of my conversation with him.
That's awesome. You have listening sessions you're planning for maybe in the coming year?
Yeah. So again, after the budget address, which is coming up, I'm going to be having listening sessions. I'm also going to start having some time just around the district. But the listening sessions, I'm going to have three at least, one in each of the assembly districts that I'm in. Those are in the process of being planned. And then I'll have quote-unquote in-district office hours also. Those are all coming up, and I'll be putting them on Facebook to let people know when and where. It'll be on our website, hopefully. That'll be up soon. So trying to get that word out, because I'd really like to hear from people what their priorities are, what they want me to really, like, speak about, to encourage, to keep into the budget as the Joint Finance Committee goes forward. So I'm eager to get out into the district and to talk to people.
Well, thanks for accepting our invitation to come to the show, Sarah. We appreciate you.
And thank you for inviting me.
I hope that you'll come back more on a regular basis.
I would love to. Thank you.
Absolutely. We appreciate you coming over here. I know it's quite a drive from Lodi.
But this is what I said to the person that introduced me coming into the office. I said, what was great is that part of the drive coming from Lodi to here is there's no cell service. And so I can't listen to news. I can't listen to music. I can't listen to anything. And I just have to be in my thoughts and look at the topography and the beauty. And right now with this fresh snowfall, it was actually really quite lovely.
Yeah, I think we all need to do that a little bit, taking in the scenery. And we drive by stuff every day we don't appreciate.
I know, so. Disconnect, right? Yeah, it was forced disconnection. It was lovely.
State Senator Sarah Kiewski, a representative of the 14th District here in our WRC listening area, our guest on the morning show today.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in your first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? A 401k with company match? Annual bonuses for all employees? Rockwell offers all that and more, including paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, unlimited referral bonuses, and endless growth opportunities. This isn't your typical manufacturing job. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. Join the team. First shift starts over $20 an hour. Second shift over $22 an hour. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers. Search Richland Center or stop by any Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity.
At U.S. Cellular, get the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus on us. No trade-in needed. And stay a step ahead with Galaxy AI, including you, misunderstood texter.
Why do people think I'm so frustrated?
Well, your last text said, "Where are you?" in all caps.
That's not frustrated. That's efficient.
Galaxy AI gives you helpful tips before you need it, with friendlier options like, just checking in, are you on your way?
Wow, I'm so polite now.
Stay a step ahead and get the Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on us. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. See uscellular.com for details.
Hello, this is Added Touch Floral on Main Street. Let us help make your Valentine's special this year with a beautifully arranged bouquet by Ashley and Samantha. We also have candy bouquets, stuffed animals, a large selection of wines, balloons, and candles. Give us a call at 647-2319 or order directly on our website at addedtouchfloral.com. Don't be that guy who forgot Valentine's Day and order early to enter our $250 giveaway to Open Season, JJ Walsh, or Added Touch Floral. Check our Facebook page. We look forward to making this day special for your Valentine.
Start your morning right with a hearty breakfast at the River Valley FFA Pancake Breakfast. Join them Sunday, February 16th from 8 a.m. until noon at the Plain American Legion. Enjoy delicious pancakes while supporting River Valley FFA's career development and leadership programs. Adults eat for just $8, kids 5 to 10 for $5, and little ones 4 and under eat free. Don't miss out. Come hungry and support a great cause. For more information, call 608-588-2554. Or extension 2109 or email peyton.miley@rvschools.org. See you there. It is winter across the farm fields. We salute the farmers who work tirelessly behind the scenes during the winter months. Even when the ground is frozen, they are busy maintaining equipment, planning for the next planting season, and caring for livestock. Their dedication ensures that our food supply remains steady, and their hard work never goes unnoticed, even in the off-season. This salute to farmers is sponsored by Town & Country TV & Appliance, your big-screen HDTV headquarters, the area's leading appliance store since 1972. Walsh's Ace Hardware, the helpful hardware place, your locally owned and operated source for farm and home. Bindle Tire & Auto Richland Center, your total car center, keeps you on the road with oil changes, tune-ups, tires, and alignments. And Chitwood Electric, your source for experienced electric motor rewinding and repair, plus sales of electric motors and barn fans.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. We call that this time of year was cabin fever. People come out of nowhere and come into town because they've burned too many fires. And we're waiting for you here at Old Cooch Books and Libations with all kinds of new records. You can get out your old phonograph and have a good time, all because of Old Cooch Books and Libations, 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center.
The Richland Family Thrift Shop is open Wednesday through Friday from 9 until 5, Saturdays from 10 until 4. Please come and shop for treasures, where the profits of your purchases stay in our community. Please follow them on Facebook and WRCO for updates. Thank you for your understanding and for your support. The Family Thrift Shop, located in downtown Richland Center.
Unexpected cold showers are the worst. That's the thing about water heaters. They eventually stop heating or they can't keep up with the demand. So when your shower suddenly goes from hot to not, call Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. We provide several brand options and offer traditional or space-saving tankless water heaters. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Hillsboro Equipment sells outdoor power equipment, services outdoor power equipment, and takes care of the people who depend on their outdoor power equipment. With an 11,000 square foot shop, over $1 million in parts, and multiple trained technicians, Hillsboro Equipment will get you tuned up and ready to go. From the combines in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard, they service it all, any make, any model. See the service experts at Hillsboro Equipment or call 489-2275.
Hey, this is Dave Grant with Civic Media. I recently got U.S. Cellular's home internet service from Cell Plus in Baraboo. The router was free, the setup was so easy, and the speed is incredible. I even rely on U.S. Cellular's home internet for my live morning show, whether from my house or from the cottage. Best part, the price is locked in for 3 years for $39.99 a month when bundled with a wireless plan. Terms do apply. Go to your nearest U.S. Cellular authorized agent, Cell Plus, and check it out.
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm